Britain is sending missiles to help defend Ukraine.
I mean, frankly, this changes the calculus for Russia's thoughts as well. Now they're going to, they were expecting a Ukrainian offensive without this major capability. They're going to have to completely recalculate.
Plus, a controversial Russian holiday celebrated in the United States draws protests.
People in the Russian community center that they are using symbols that now being used in Ukraine by Russian forces or pro-Russian forces to kill Ukrainians, to kill Ukrainian soldiers, to kill Ukrainian people.
And later in the program, a look at sports competition for wounded Ukrainian soldiers. Today is Thursday, May 11th. From the Voice of America, this is Flashpoint Ukraine. Good evening, I'm Steve Karish in Washington. Britain is supplying Ukraine with Storm Shadow long-range cruise missiles, Defense Minister Ben Wallace said on Thursday. This will allow Ukraine's forces to hit Russian troops, ammunition, and fuel depots that are deep behind the front line.
Mr. Deputy Speaker, as I've said many times in the past, we simply will not stand by while Russia kills civilians. We've seen what Ukrainians can do when they have the right capabilities.
That's British Defense Minister Ben Wallace.
In December, I informed the House that I was developing options to respond to Russia's continued aggression in a calibrated and determined manner. Today, I can confirm that the UK is donating Storm Shadow missiles to Ukraine. Storm Shadow is a long-range, conventional-only precision strike capability. It complements the long-range systems already gifted, including HIMARS and Harpoon missiles, as well as Ukraine's own Neptune cruise missile and longer-range missions elsewhere gifted. The donation of these weapon systems gives Ukraine the best chance to defend themselves against Russia's continued brutality.
The Kremlin, for its part, said earlier that if Britain provided these missiles, it would require a, quote, adequate response from our military. Britain and other Western countries have scaled up their military aid for Ukraine this year. Wallace and the British foreign minister have been in the United States for talks about supporting Ukraine.
Ukraine has a right to be able to defend itself against this. The use of Storm Shadow will allow Ukraine to push back Russian forces based within Ukrainian sovereign territory. I'm sure the House will understand that I'll not go into further details of the capabilities, but while these weapons will give Ukraine new capability, members should recognize that these systems are not even in the same league as the Russian AS-24 Killjoy hypersonic missile or Shahed Iranian one-way Drak drones or even the Caliber cruise missile with a range of over 2,000 kilometers, roughly seven times that of a Storm Shadow missile. Russia must recognize that their actions alone have led to such systems being provided to Ukraine. It is my judgment as a Defense Secretary that this is a calibrated and proportionate response to Russia's escalations.
Kyiv is widely expected to unleash a counteroffensive soon after 6 months of keeping its forces on the defensive. Russia mounted a huge winter offensive that failed to capture significant territory. Ukraine has for months been requesting long-range missiles, but support provided by Britain and other allies, such as the United States, has previously been limited to shorter-range weapons. EU High Representative Josep Borrell said that he's asking member countries to help provide Kyiv with more.
And we have a purpose, which is to provide 1 million ammunition of 155 millimeters. We have just provided more than 1,000 missiles since the 9th of February when we started the three tracks to provide ammunition. I know that's not enough. I'm coming from the meeting of the chief of staff of the European armies, ask them to provide more from their stocks, mm-hmm. from what they already have, because thanks God they will not use it by themselves, so they can send to Ukraine, and then our industry will produce more to refurbish their stocks. But it is a matter of urgency. President Zelensky has just said that he's going to delay the counteroffensive. Certainly, they need more preparation, they need more arms, they need to gather more capacity. And it is us who have to provide for it.
For more on the missiles that Ukraine will be receiving, I'm joined by VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb. So it was revealed today that the UK will be supplying Ukraine with Storm Shadow missiles. Can we start off by explaining, please, what is a Storm Shadow missile and how is that different from what the Ukrainians have been using?
Okay, so this is really big news for the Ukrainians. This is very exciting news for the Ukrainians. These Storm Shadow missiles, they're cruise missiles, and they're launched by aircraft. And the best thing I can say to tell you about the significance and the difference is these missiles can go much farther. That they give long-range strike capability, much greater than what they have now. So the Storm Shadow can reach about 250 kilometers. The best that the Ukrainians have now are the Gimlers rockets that are fired out of the HIMARS that the U.S. has provided them. Their capability is around 80 to 90 kilometers. So we're talking three times the range now that Ukrainians can use to reach into areas like Crimea and eastern Ukraine. I mean, frankly, this changes the calculus for Russia's thoughts as well. Now they were expecting a Ukrainian offensive without this major capability. They're going to have to completely recalculate how they're going to defend the positions that they have really buried down into and hunkered down in. And the Ukrainians, on the flip side, while they have been delaying their offensive, I can see President Zelensky wanting to start this offensive as soon as possible now, so that Russia will not have time to recalculate in preparation for the offensive that Ukraine is about to do.
Now, do we know if the missiles are in Ukraine now? And if not, when will they be there and be operational?
Well, officials say that they're in Ukraine already. So that is also big news. So it's not something that the Ukrainians are preparing to get. They've got them, which is a key indicator to me that they will be employed during this next offensive, and that they are prepared to use them in this next offensive.
So you told us that the missiles' key advantage is their range. They go farther. They can shoot at Russian targets farther away. How are they targeted? Are they like what we would have called smart bombs? Remember watching the Gulf War on TV in the 90s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are smart missiles. So that gives them incredible precision as well. And I mean, let me put it to you this way. This is a capability that Zelensky and the Ukrainian military have been asking for a long time now. This is a capability that several defense analysts that I've been speaking to, including retired General Ben Hodges, who was the head of U.S. Army in Europe years ago, he has been saying, why not provide the Ukrainians with this long-range capability to give them an ability to hit targets in Crimea and make Russia defend those targets, to be able to give them the capability to hit targets deep into Eastern Europe, to make Russia have to worry about defending those targets. And so far, the United States, for its part, had said no to that request. The concern being, what happens when one of those long-range rockets or long-range missiles hits in Russian territory? And they felt that long-range capability would potentially escalate the war. So that's why the United States, for its part, has not provided its long-range missile capability. The UK, however, has said, look, so far, Ukraine has done everything they've said. When they tell the people providing weapons that they're not going to use it in a certain way, they followed through with that. And so the UK is providing these weapons because Ukraine has agreed not to strike into Russian territory with these. So we will have to see in this offensive if they keep their word there and if this plays out.
Well, you answered half of my next question by saying that these are not coming from the United States and that the United States will not be providing similarly long-ranged missiles. What is the United States providing?
So the United States continues to provide a lot of munitions for HIMARS. The type of capability that they've been giving them is called a Gimler. And this Gimler, this missile, has a range of between 80 to 90 kilometers. Now, Zelensky and the Ukrainian military, President Zelensky and the Ukrainian military, they have wanted the ATACMS missile. And the ATACMS missile, that one has a range of about 300 kilometers. So a little bit farther than the Storm Shadow that the UK is providing. So a little bit further, but really not that much. I mean, they're both long range. They can both reach very far. So that has been what the Ukrainians have been using, something that has 80 to 90 kilometer range. They've wanted something with about a 300 kilometer range, and that's what the UK is giving them.
VOA's Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb. Ms. Babb, thanks for your time today.
You're welcome.
By the time Kyiv residents hear the air raid sirens warning of a Russian attack, Ukraine's air defense units are already on the move. Karen Chamas has the story.
Ukraine's air defenses have strengthened significantly since the start of the war. With the help of Western weapons and growing experience, Ukraine's military has been able to save infrastructure and lives, as well as prevent Russia from achieving air superiority. The great strides made by Ukrainian forces are a critical step as they prepare for a counteroffensive. They dart out by truck to farm fields around the capital, ready to take down enemy drones or missiles. The scramble has become an almost nightly event since Russia resumed regular air attacks on Kyiv on April the 28th, after a nearly two-month lull. I'm Karen Chemas.
The Ukrainians are making territorial gains in Bakhmut, and as we've heard, Britain will be sending Storm Shadow missiles to Ukraine to bolster its armed forces. For more, we're joined by Anna Chernikova in Kyiv. Anna, President Zelensky said today that Ukraine was not ready for a counteroffensive. Can you tell us what he said and what he meant?
So in his latest interview, President Zelensky mentioned that actually Ukraine will take some more time to prepare for the counteroffensive. He did not particularly say Ukraine is not ready. What he actually said that theoretically and practically, Ukraine can start the counteroffensive and even get success. But at this stage, at this point, Ukraine will lose a lot of people, and this is not acceptable. And this is why President Zelensky said that the decision is that Ukraine needs to wait until more Western weapons from the allies arrives.
And did he give any specifics about what kinds of weapons he's waiting for?
Again, this is something that we cannot confirm, of course, but what is discussed and what he's mentioning all the time, that Ukraine needs more jets and more long-range missiles. So we can suggest that apparently and probably he's talking about this kind of weapon. But what we're also hearing that not all of the announced equipment is already in Ukraine. A lot is already has already reached Ukraine, but not all of it. And there is a feeling here in Ukraine that Ukrainian military and authorities want to get as much as possible, even maybe all the amounts which were discussed previously, because definitely the pressure is high, not only from Ukrainian society, but also from international partners and allies. And Ukraine understands that this might be the main chance and the main, you know, the main counteroffensive operation that everyone is expecting and that would ever be in at this stage of war.
Well, that actually is a nice segue to my next question, is that the British revealed today that they've been donating some long-range missiles to Ukraine.
Yes, and this news comes, well, as a storm here in Ukraine, and considering that the missiles we're talking about are called Storm Shadow. And this is true. The Minister of Defense of Great Britain confirmed that. We don't have official reaction from Kyiv yet, but I think that it is coming, and we might get it a little bit later, closer to the evening time here in Kyiv.
Do we know if the missiles have been used in combat yet?
No, it was just confirmed that actually Ukraine. Ukrainians are getting them. It was not specified if these missiles are already used or already on the territory of Ukraine. So for this, we cannot independently verify or confirm.
Now, another thing we spoke about on Wednesday's program was the military situation in Bakhmut. And you said how some Ukrainian forces were able to push back Russian forces from part of the city. And it looks like that's being confirmed. Can you tell us what we know?
Yes, for the moment, Ukrainian general staff confirmed that Ukrainian forces had certain successful counteroffensives in particular areas of Bakhmut region. Again, we don't have specific locations, of course, but what was confirmed that Russian forces were pushed back by 2 kilometers in some areas and at some points of the front line. And of course, considering how tough situation in Bakhmut is and for how long this fierce battle is happening there, of course, this is quite a great news for Ukraine and quite a great success for Ukrainian forces, because at the same time, we're hearing that situation is extremely difficult, and especially for Ukrainian forces, is getting more and more difficult to keep this defense line. So hearing the news about even getting possibility for pushing Russian forces back is something really big. Again, we don't have much more at this point, but at least we understand that the city of Bakhmut, even despite the fact that most of this area is under Russian forces control, we still understand that the main supply road is under Ukrainian control and defense lines remain under Ukrainian control. So for the moment, we can just say that the battle is ongoing. And of course, it's very, very intense. It's very difficult. And the city, unfortunately, is destroyed.
And we'll leave it there for today. No doubt we'll check back in on these stories later in the week. Anna Chernikova in Kyiv. Anna, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. I'm Steve Karish. As you've heard on this program, May 9th is Victory Day in Russia, a holiday meant to commemorate the Soviet victory over the Nazis and the end of World War II. Many dissidents say the holiday has been co-opted by the Putin regime, and what was intended as a celebration of a truly remarkable military achievement has turned into a vehicle for nationalistic propaganda. This tension is evident even in the United States, where events organized by the Russian Cultural Center in Seattle, Washington, to celebrate Victory Day were met with protesters calling the glorification of war inappropriate while Russia continues its invasion of Ukraine. Natasha Mozgovaya has our story from Seattle.
Maxim Maximov came to protest World War II Victory Day celebrations at the Russian Cultural Center with a flag of the Russia of the Future group opposing President Vladimir Putin.
People in the Russian Community Center, that they are using symbols that now being used in Ukraine by Russian forces or pro-Russian forces to kill Ukrainians, to kill Ukrainian soldiers, to kill Ukrainian people. And they should feel shameful for doing that.
Maximov says he left Russia following its invasion of Ukraine and does not believe Russians in the diaspora should help spread what he calls pro-Kremlin propaganda. In 2014, Nikolai Mochko left his hometown of Donetsk, and last year his family fled the town of Bucha, days before Russian forces pulled out, allegedly killing Ukrainian civilians as they left. He said he hopes the protest makes some Russian Center event participants educate themselves about history and current events.
Since 2014,
for me, the ribbon of St. George became a symbol of terrorism, because each terrorist that occupied my hometown was wearing this ribbon. It's a matter of principle for me to make this ribbon disappear. Even in America, this horror brings very scary memories.
Russian Cultural Center event organizer Vladimir Kirsanov would not comment on the war in Ukraine, but did say that Slavs have always been battering each other. He says the significance of Russia's victory in World War II cannot be understated.
It's not a holiday for you, but a holiday for us. I celebrate it as a birthday. Without that victory, you wouldn't exist and I wouldn't exist.
Event organizers did not allow cameras into the building, citing security concerns. The locked doors kept out some of those who came to celebrate, including Valentina Voronkova, who has lived in the United States for 30 years.
I grew up with two grandfathers who fought in this war, and I think it's a really event which has to be celebrated, remembered, and, acknowledged.
She said the conflict between Russia and Ukraine is a tragedy.
We are almost the same people, and we're killing each other. And this is really, really sad. And I think this is geopolitics, which involved other countries. And we have to be smart and not kill each other.
Russian-speaking activists in Seattle conducted alternative events to commemorate the World War II victory. A day before May 9th, they distributed anti-war quotes of veterans and lit candles near the World War II memorial in the city. Natasha Mozgovaya, VOA News, Seattle.
Fighters in Ukraine are expected to take part in the 2023 Invictus Games in Germany this September, even as Russia's war on their country grinds on. Omlyan Oshudliak has the story.
Mykola is a Ukraine's Special Operations Forces officer. Russia's invasion of his homeland gave him a prosthesis. He uses few of them, but one looks like a bear's paw.
I use it only for special occasions. My call sign is Bear Cub, and I promised myself I would walk around Red Square in Moscow in this prosthesis as a sign of victory.
A year ago, he lost his left limb in the battle for Severodonetsk. He went to the U.S., to Minneapolis, for rehabilitation and surprised American prosthetists.
Glory Ukraine! Glory America! Wow!
With his new prosthesis, Mykola is joining the 223 Army veterans and active servicemen who are competing for a chance to represent Ukraine at the World Invictus Games in Düsseldorf, Germany, in September. It's an international multi-sporting event started in 2014 for wounded, injured, or sick servicemen and women. Mykola chose archery. The one thing all the contestants share is determination.
I shot a video today of a guy running 100 meters on two prostheses. He fell down, he got up, on his own, resumed running, and completed this distance.
The guy on two prostheses is Oleksandr Butko, a 26-year-old mortarman from Rivne.
An unknown missile flew into my trench. No one knows what kind of munition it was. This happened on August 24, and I've been trying to adjust to my new life since then.
Butko received his sports prosthesis in Orlando, Florida, and participated not only in running, but in half of the nine disciplines available, including barbell bench press, volleyball, and speed rowing.
He's used his prosthesis for just a month, so it's a fantastic result. He said it doesn't hurt to fall, so that's good.
It's not easy to even stand on sports prosthesis, but if you learn, it's probably more pleasant to run on them than on your own feet, because you run faster. And inertia pushes you forward, so yes, it feels incredible.
Team Ukraine has been competing in the Invictus Games since 2017 in Toronto, Canada, as a NATO ally in peacekeeping missions. But this year's selection of the national team occurred during a full-scale war, with the athlete community already mourning the loss of 10 members of previous Ukrainian teams. Omlyan Oshudliak for VOA News, Lviv, Ukraine.
And that'll do it for us today. Stay up to date with continuing coverage of Ukraine and news from around the world 24 hours a day. Visit us online at voanews.com and on social media, be sure to follow VOA News. On behalf of the entire Flashpoint Ukraine team, thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Steve Karish.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.